Welcome to an inspirational message recorded live at Little Falls Christian Center.
Oh, Father God, how can we ever forget what you have done? We thank you this day for Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. We thank you that we can worship him and praise him for what he has done. And we thank you for what he's about to do for his people, for this generation, for this land. Father God, we truly lean against the rock of our salvation, Jesus Christ of Nazareth. We praise your holy name. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Thank you to the band. What a powerful song. Give the Lord a praise offering. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. It is a great blessing to be in church. It is an even greater blessing to be in a good church. I want to tell you, each one of you, you are in a good church. The love of Christ is in the church. Forgiveness is in this church. The Holy Spirit is in this church. God is in his church. Amen. You know, as I've prepared, I became aware of people that many people are truly going through tough times. I must say, in our nation, financially, things are going difficult. And then people are going through personal things. And when you all add it up, you know, some people are at the point of giving up. I want to say to you, never give up. God has not given you permission to give up. We are in a season where we spend time on the covenant of God. When Pastor Harold gave me the opportunity to minister the Word of God, and specifically in this area of covenant, it is so good when you go into the Word of God and you see how God wants to establish his people, that when they go through tough times, they will not waver. You will feel the heat. You will feel the wind. You will feel it, but you will not fall down. You will stand. God is good. Amen. I'm on this journey with Pastor Harold, and he has shared so many things regarding covenant. And I love it when he shared about marriage, because that is probably on earth one of the most important agreements that exists on this earth. The reason why after 6,000 years of man and woman on the earth that there is stability is because a man and a wife have taken hands and said to one another, I'll see you when I get 70 and 80 and 90, and we will be together until we get to that place. So if you are married, you know, just grab your husband or your wife's hand and say, we're going for it. Just do that. Amen. You will not fail. God is good. So, you know what? To really experience God's love, really experience the love of Christ, experience the love of God's Spirit working in us, to experience the true love of God, is to understand covenant. People who battle spiritually, probably, maybe they have not been taught the Word of God. They have not come to a place of understanding why God has done all of this. Why would God create a universe, stars, the sun, the moon? Why would God put an earth together and put people on there? Why would he do that? His great motivation for doing anything is love. It's as simple as that. And to experience God and the depth of God's commitment towards mankind is to understand covenant. Because once you understand that, you will quickly come to realize you are safe. You are safe. Have you fallen off this planet yet with the speed it's going around the sun? Have you even experienced the speed by which this earth is going around the sun? Someone is in charge. Believe me, someone is in charge. When I look at God's covenant, I see it literally in everything. When you go and you see a tree, that's covenant. That thing is made for purpose. When you see anything on this earth, then you know there's purpose behind that. And covenant gives it purpose. Without covenant, marriage is the most difficult thing. Because what covenant does to a marriage, it closes the back door. Otherwise, it's just a contract, a piece of paper, a certain commitment that while I'm happy, I'll stay. And it doesn't work that way. There's a lot this pastor can say to you. Been too many years in marriage, been too many years working with people, been too many years experiencing myself. And as Paul, you know, we are like Paul, all of us, we can say, I'm the worst of them all. Have you ever felt like that? That is a good feeling. That is a good feeling to be under the conviction of the Holy Spirit when you know you need God. But today, the blessing of God's covenants. There are many covenants. I'd love to just touch base of and build a picture, because we are going towards, the whole church is going towards next Friday. It is to me the highlight of the year. Must tell you, I don't think, and this is for me, not if any person, this is not for you, this is me. I doubted if myself and my wife have ever been away on Good Friday. It touched me so much. You know where it changed for me? Because I got saved and then we went to Bible school, and you get a lot of information. A lot of information is shared. But it came to that class, there's two classes over there, that specific hall over there. There came a certain point, and Tani Doerke is seated over there, and Tani Doerke was the on fire person who presented the blood covenant to us. And I was just seated in the class, just enjoying class, taking notes, and wow, this is good, this is good. But the next moment, something happened with me. Where God taught me. There are certain places in a person's life where God comes in and He wants a person to have a specific, certain understanding. And I can see with many people, they have not had that full understanding. But in that class, and Pastor Harold mentioned it as well, when he studied it, suddenly things came together. Suddenly, with God making covenant with man, it came together for me. From that point onward, exponential spiritual growth happened in my life. And I thank God for that, because God firstly wants to teach every child of His the love of Christ and what He's really done for mankind. What He's really done, it is too great. How do we even say thank you? How do we even say, Father, truly, thank you? To say thank you is to give your life. You know, there was a person, Stanley, and I was thinking about mentioning him and David Livingstone when they came to Africa and presenting the gospel and what they did and the fears they faced and the troubles they went to. Only God could take a person and help and take such an individual and you know, let the gospel spread through them. But when Stanley came, that he experienced a lot of resistance from the African tribes. Actually, when he came, he realized that the people of Africa understood covenant. When he came to those, I would say nations, but then tribal nations, that they fully understood covenant. It's like the European with the gospel came And suddenly we're faced with what truly is covenant. And they could not get anywhere because the aggression and the protection regarding the tribalism, you know, if anything would come in there, they would really kill it. And then Stanley's guide said to him, listen, we need to see the customs of the people. And they were presented with a custom of, you have no right to enter anything if you are not willing to be in covenant. And we know, I think Maud's quite a while ago shared about this. And then the tribal chief said, listen, let us, because he was one of the biggest tribes in Africa. And they said, listen, let's cut covenant. Because that's what covenant means, to cut something. Now, in the sense of cutting your wrist and let the blood flow, it is blood that would flow from one person to another. What does it really mean? It means that my life enters your life and your life enters my life. It's all about life. That is why we are in covenant. Now, when your life come into my life and my life into your life, it means touching you is touching me and touching me is touching you. And as Pastor Harold have mentioned, that in all of this, it means that we are blood brothers. We are family. That's the thing with God. Through Christ, we have become family. It is much more than coming to church. It is much more than just reading your Bible. It is about what covenant, the depth of covenant is relationship. If you do not experience relationship with God, then there need to be a certain deep commitment made that God should teach you. So, and I have a scripture for you, Psalm 25:12. Please go with me to Psalm 25:12. So with Stanley, as you go there, that they reckoned, one commentary reckoned that he had cut covenant with 50 tribes, and all those marks on his body could be seen. And this big tribal chief gave him one day it's kind of like a staff with a copper thing on it. But he wanted something, you know, you give me something and I give you something because we have now cut covenant. And Stanley had a goat, and that goat's milk would give relief to his stomach pains, you know. I've never had goat's milk. I should actually somewhere have goat's milk. Anybody had goat's milk? Oh yeah, it's quite nice. Someone said, no, definitely not. But here's the thing that he said, but if you take my goat, I don't have like kind of like this medicine for my stomach. And the person said, no, just give it. You know, this is the way it works. Later on, he would realize that this thing that was given him, when he went into a certain area, just by lifting up that, the people stood back and said, there's a covenant cut here. We cannot even touch this man. Oh, I'm not going to deep in explanations because we are going towards Good Friday. I just want to lay a foundation because we as sheep forget easily. You know, we go from one Sunday to the next Sunday and we've forgotten. So I just want to refresh the whole church regarding this. So Psalm 25:12 says, who is the man who fears the Lord? Who is that man that fears the Lord? Him shall he teach in the way he chooses. God has got a certain way for every one of us to treat us, to teach us, to walk this journey with us. God is the great teacher. But King David here, with the understanding, who is the man that fears God? Only people that fear God can be taught by God. It's a major principle. It is a significant principle in the Word of God that the fear of God is the doorway to every blessing of God. If there's things in your life that it's not right, go and check the fear of the Lord upon your life. If you fear man more than you fear God, if you fear circumstances more than you fear God, if you fear anything more than you fear God, it affects the covenant God has with you. Definitely does. So he goes on to say, he himself shall dwell in prosperity. We see prosperity there, not the prosperity gospel. The fear of the Lord brings prosperity to a person. The fear of the Lord is our provision. And then King David so beautifully writes here, and his descendants shall inherit the earth. The secret of the Lord is with those who fear him. The deep things of God. That thing that you know, that you know, that you know. Have you had such an experience with God? That I know, that I know, that I know. Man, when God teaches his people, you can see it, you can experience it. But many people are too afraid. They are too afraid that they will be exposed. You want to be exposed. You know, when I came to church in those early days, coming to the youth, and yes, we were in the youth, no gray hair. And in the youth, I was so scared that I would be exposed, that I gave my life to Christ now and I knew nothing. So I would literally hide from being exposed. That's a terrible thing. That is the devil at work in a person's life. You know, it's like kind of like when we as pastors, and there's a truly a new driving force towards community. You can call it cell group, but this church wants to go towards community because covenant keeping is community doing. We cannot be not in one another's presence and have that protection that someone is looking out for me. People who are not connected are open prey to the devil. And community protects. I don't have a choice not to be interconnected with my church. A big church becomes very small. And we go with our baggage into those cell groups. Believe me, it's the most wonderful thing to, and then people start helping you and start, you know, showing God's covenant. Showed that, you know what, I went through the same things, but here today, look what God has done. Look what God has done. So King David reflects on unmistakable guidance from God because of his covenant, and personal prosperity and family security and divine fellowship. Divine fellowship. Divine fellowship is the most wonderful thing about knowing Christ, that he wants to know me. So, in 1 Corinthians 8, verse 1, there's something that is connected to something else, but I want to use it in a specific context. Here Paul says, now concerning things offered to idols, we know that we all have knowledge. Knowledge puffs up, but love edifies. If anyone thinks he knows anything, he knows nothing as yet as he ought to know. Always be humble. Always be humble. Never want to show how much you know, because we don't actually know a lot. But love is the driving force of knowledge that changes a person's life. If your motive truly is to love people, then it's a driving force that the knowledge we will share and the knowledge we will experience will cause spiritual growth. And that's the key to community. Community is covenant keeping. So One thing about those early men and women who served God, I'm talking 2,000 years ago, I'm talking those very first Christians. Do you know that those very first Christians, they did one thing that a person should do as a Christian? Fully surrender. Fully, completely surrender. And a reminder of me is Stephen in the book of Acts. Stephen, you know what Stephen did? I found that as I studied this now, is that Stephen, the reason why he was killed, because he explained covenant. Stephen started explaining about the two major covenants in the Bible. I don't want to read it. I don't have enough time. But he started explaining about the Abrahamic covenant and the Mosaic covenant and how the two connects, but the one went further. And he was killed for that, by explaining covenants. So that is your homework this afternoon, to actually go and read what Stephen said. And he was filled by the Spirit of God. He stood there in front of those people and he was giving them a class. How many of you, if we put a gun to your head, can give a class? That's a difficult place. Okay, they didn't have guns then. No Smith & Wessons. Just me and my sword. And so Stephen knew exactly under the Holy Spirit that he explained covenant. Boom. And he lost his life. Rocks were taken up. Paul was beheaded for the fact that he was in covenant with God. Paul was beheaded. Stephen was stoned. What am I willing to give to God so that I might have relationship with him? Like Stephen, like Paul, like all of these men, like a David walked onto a battlefield as a young teenager. They understood. All of these men and women understood covenant. That God says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I will be with you. I cannot leave you. I will not leave you. And this book is all about that. This book was written so that we should be established in the things of God, the deep things of God, the things that God wants to teach His church. Establish yourself now in this. So I quickly, this is one thing I want to do this morning. Just once again, try to quickly, in 2 minutes, explain the different covenants to you that's the main things in the Bible. Actually, it's the book of covenant. It says here, what is covenant? Wayne Crudem says it beautifully. He says, a covenant is a legally imposed agreement between God and man that stipulates the conditions of relationship. So, God determines the stipulations of the relationship. Because in the book of Isaiah, God says, my words are not your words. My thoughts are not your thoughts. My thoughts are higher. That is God. That is why the Lord always knows what is best for His people, for your life, for your circumstances, for where you are right now today. He knows you. But it's time that we get to know our God. So there's the Edenic covenant, and that's the broken covenant where God, and I want you to understand two words, Pastor Harold mentioned it, but you cannot understand covenant without these two words, bilateral and unilateral. What unilateral means unconditional covenant, unconditional. And then there's the bilateral, a conditional covenant. So the Edenic covenant means that God created man to rule and to reign. And that is a bilateral covenant that we know that Adam broke. And then after that, the Noahic covenant. So right after Eden, they were put out of Eden. Now, the Noahic covenant happened. And this is restraint. Restraint. God had to restrain him not to wipe all of mankind off the earth. Think of it. Every single human being on the planet that existed then were evil. Not one single person outside of Noah was looking for God, serving God. None, nobody. God had to do something about that. And there's a lot of things regarding that and the angels that came down and all of those things. But maybe Pastor Harold will even share that in this course to come. We are looking forward to that. It's going to be powerful. And now, and that is a unilateral agreement. So unilateral means one party is obliged to do everything. And bilateral means both parties need to do something. So mostly the covenants in the Bible is what we call unilateral, which means that God sustains the things He wants. God is the sustainer because we are full of sin. And sin causes man, I will do it today and tomorrow I'm not the same anymore. This continuous battle, do you feel it? Do you feel it how this moment you are so inspired to do something and 10 minutes later, oh no, what? Leave that alone. We are like that. Thank God. God says, I do not change. I am still the same yesterday, today, and forever. And He said in the book of Malachi that, O sons of Jacob, you are not consumed because I do not change. What God intended to do through Adam, He is going to do right to the end of the book of Revelation. He did not back out. He is still doing that. Actually, we are the privileged generation that have seen and could learn from all the previous covenants that God made with mankind. And then we have the Abrahamic covenant. That's the powerful one. That's the one that is through Abraham, which is, in any case, a agreements that God made with Abraham. Abraham, I'm going to do three things, three promises. I'm going to make a promise towards land, towards the seed that is inside of you, and towards the blessings that I want to bless you. Any person that touches you, touches me. Any person, any person that wants to harm you, harms me. Now, can you imagine? In the Abrahamic covenant that God made promises, and we are part of that promises to the seed of Abraham. We are the spiritual seed of Abraham. That covenant is still in place. God has made certain decisions about your life and my life, and He has planted a church on this West Rand so that His covenant working plans might extend to the next generation and to people out there. We cannot be selfish about the covenant. One thing the covenant of God does to us, it actually fires us up in the focus of evangelism. If you are not burning now on the inside to see that someone is going to hell, we are wasting God's covenant He has made to mankind through Jesus Christ to save, to heal, to deliver. It's personal. It's personal to me. It should be personal to you. Covenant means that God has a plan and He has a purpose with you. We have then, there's a lot, believe me. If I can say one thing about what God did with Abraham. In the East, actually, it's a well-known thing when Abraham cut, it wasn't a new thing that when you cut animals in half and put them one to another and you walk through them, like kind of like that, that's the first time it happened. That is the way covenants were made. Blood flowed and people walked with those animals or around those animals. What does it mean? It means that the commitment is so deep that if I don't keep to my agreement, like these animals, I will be dead. Now, we are spiritually dead if we don't have Christ. But the thing about Abraham, because that's a unilateral agreement, God did not need Abraham to walk through those animals. God is the only one who walked through those animals, making a commitment, a unilateral agreement, that I will keep my word. And the first prophecy in the Bible is, I need to find that. I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. You'll see there, the two seeds, one is capital and one is like, there's a spiritual seed of Jesus that will manifest. And then there is the unspiritual seed of people that will reject God, that will be under control of Satan, because he is the God of this world. But Christ is, through the work of the Father, he is the King of kings and the Lord of lords, who has established a covenant. That's all I'm going to say, but this is deep stuff. This is deep stuff, which every person can understand. And then there's the Mosaic covenant, and this is a bilateral covenant. You see, this is not unilateral, this is bilateral. That now mankind, or the Jews, or Israel, had to keep it. It's not like with Abraham. God said, I'm the one walking through this. Now you keep the law. So what is the law? The law is just God's holy standard. It never changed. Through the cross, it did not change. There is a holy standard to walk by. There is a holy standard for my life. There is a holy standard that I need to perform because I'm in covenant with God. And then there's this word, don't misunderstand the word, the Palestinian covenant. It doesn't mean that Gaza belongs to the Palestinians. It's just a certain word which... But that is the promise of land. You know, God, that little piece that Israel got, Satan has taken a lot. God's going to give it all back to Israel. That is an eternal inheritance. And then, my dear friends, there comes a new covenant. I'm going to not share about that, because this is where Jesus, the Lord Jesus Christ, the King, what he did is deep. The things he did. And there's a promise in the Old Testament made regarding that with Israel. And we are already experiencing that in Ezekiel 36, 26. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I have the Spirit of God on the inside of me. I have a new heart. My heart is after God. You know, spiritually, I don't want to walk in the flesh. Don't. I want to please God. You want to please God. I want to get to know my God even further. There's never a time that you stop learning. You will always learn something. So, my final question for this morning, is this world a better place because of your faithfulness and your commitment to Christ? Is this world a better place because of that? And it shows us that God is busy with every child of his, that he loves people so much, and what he has done for us. And this is now the listen to this, my final verse, Deuteronomy 28, from verse 1 to 2. I love it when people do note-taking. Always bring a note with you. Deuteronomy 28, 1 and 2. Now it shall come to pass, if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all his commandments, which I commanded you today, that the Lord God will set you high above all the nations of the earth. And these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you. Oh, there's blessings that's coming upon a person. And then it starts overtaking you. How many of you need a blessing that starts overtaking you? Come on, I need one. I need a couple of those. God wants you to have it. I nearly want to say, come and fetch it tonight. And you know, Pastor George, that I've got to end on a high note. And my high note is that for people that have been married, Relationships are the most important thing. In my life, it is the Lord Jesus Christ and my wife. She is my sweetheart for life. I would love us to spend the rest of our lives together. And in this week, I said to people, you know, marriage is the hardest thing you can have. Not a business or a whatever. Actually, to get to know this person next to you. So for the women here, listen to me now. These things happens that you can say to your husband. They have to earn it. You don't just get good words from your wife. So after, you know that saying, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. I will make you a ruler over many things. So after 10 years of marriage, you'll just hear that, well. And then you get to 20 years of marriage, then you hear the words, well done. And then after 30 years of marriage, you hear the word, well done, good. And then after 40 years of marriage, you hear the words, well done, good and faithful, because now you've been there a while. But then, after 50 years, it is, well done, good and faithful servant. I was a young pastor. And, you know, now as a young pastor, I did my first weddings. And there's an 80-year-old uncle I asked, listen, give me some advice as a young pastor. I want to know, how is it that you've been married so long? And he said, George, the day I started doing what she said I should do, it worked out well. To the men, I want to say, it will work when you do. God has created us to serve the love of our lives. You know, when they put a smile on their face is when we serve one another. But as a child of God, I serve her because Christ has served me with his life. Please stand. Praise you, Lord. Lord, we praise you this morning. We bless your holy name. Father God, oh God, there's so many deep things in the Word of God. My desire is, Father, that as we move towards Passover, and it's a celebration, but yet it's a time when we take those vessels in our hands, the bread and the wine, that, Father, we can truly say, you have been good to us. But that partaking of that would cause us, Father, to walk, Lord, with you, and that you would work through us. I pray a blessing upon every person here. Lord, I thank you that on this Sabbath day, your people come to church. It's vitally important. I pray a blessing upon your people. And tonight, as we gather for a celebration in the presence of God, we pray that that the Holy Spirit would do great things tonight in this place. Bring your people back, Father God. Bring the sick, the lame. Lord, send the people you want saved, healed, delivered. Lord, we are so ready for the move of God in Jesus' mighty name. Now you may go in the peace of God. We love you. Have a fantastic afternoon.
For more teachings like this and other material, please visit our website at www.littlefallsonline.com.